Someone say amen. All right, we're going to continue our series in Colossians, and before we do, we're going to pray together, but also I just have to say how much I appreciate it. I got to tell on myself a little bit because it's old man stuff now, but so I always go, if you've ever noticed, like right after worship, I sort of dart out that door over there. Well, there's a reason for that because at 64 years of age, my bladder just does not always cooperate with me. So after worship in the first service, I went off like I always do, and in the back of my mind, I thought, what if they do something while I'm gone? I come out, and the video is almost over that they were doing. It's all because I mean, talk about pointed and nail on the head. I mean, so my dad calls me last night, and I haven't talked to my dad in a good while. We just had the best conversation, but it dawned on me halfway through the conversation that this was a milestone. I was having my first old man conversation with my dad. We were comparing hearing aids, glasses, his sciatica, my tinnitus. I mean, it was just like, I said, Dad, I stopped him. I said, do you realize we're having our first old man conversation? We're both old enough to have that now. So anyway, other than all that, it's been a wonderful, glorious, beautiful weekend. And I'm speechless, shock and all, because being here for 10 years, it has gone so fast in so many ways, and yet we've never, ever doubted our call here. We've never once thought, did we do the right thing? I mean, it has just been so clear, and I think that's part of what makes this journey joyful. When I say we get to do this, it's not some cute cliche. We really mean that. We get to do this. And we get to do it with some of the finest people on the planet right here in Fredericksburg, Texas. And by the way, we had a choice. We were offered a church situation in Austin 10 years ago. The same week this one came up, that one came up, and they both called us within 3 days offering a position. And we had a decision to make. And I got to tell you something. It wasn't the facility. It wasn't the, because that over in Austin, they had quite the thing over there. But it was like, it was the people. And it was the call. And so we followed the call, and we have not regretted it. And we're so thankful to walk with you and continue this journey of faith. Continue to become fully devoted, committed disciples of Jesus Christ together. Can I get an amen? Love you guys so much. Wow. So I do want to pray. So once you stand to your feet, wait, not yet. Well, let me give you a briefing. I've got a little thing I want to read to you. I feel like you may have noticed I've shifted gears over the last couple of years where we used to do a lot of things up front in terms of what's going on in culture. Well, I've tried to shorten that and really be more succinct and to the point. So I want to share this with you because this is kind of what's going on this week. And the only thing I didn't get in here was Iran, but we'll talk a little bit about that. So the media is in full whiplash mode again this week, culminating in the release of more Epstein files. This will, of course, unleash an endless stream of analysis from influencers desperate to maintain your attention. But let's look at the facts. The only seemingly salacious information comes from grand jury testimony that was already dismissed by federal judges. You've probably heard the expression that a grand jury could indict a ham sandwich. Well, bon appetit. There is nothing concrete here, just a lot of names floating around to influence the, and listen to this, the 2026 midterms. Family, you're going to see some crazy stuff over the next few months. And listen, do not take the bait. All of it is that carrot dangling right outside your reach to get you to move, to get you to change, to get you to switch, to get you to second guess. So do not take the bait. There's going to be a lot of political gameplay, and it's all going to be ridiculous. So just keep that in mind when you're seeing things or things come across your news feed or your best friend sends you a meme. So just think about that. Look, there's stuff happening here. Then we have former CNN newsreader Don Lemon. He's not a journalist, as he claims, newsreader Don Lemon, arrested for breaking federal law. Instead of spiking the football on social media, we need to focus on the gross misrepresentation of the First Amendment. We need to stay focused. The press in the amendment refers to the printing press, the act of publishing ideas, not a special class of journalists or YouTubers or anybody with a microphone and a camera with extra rights to trespass. Don't be fooled. This isn't a color revolution. These are recycled tactics used to trigger the oppressed oppressor response that an entire generation has been trained to react to, just like Pavlov's dogs. And speaking of training, get ready for the hysteria around the Molt book, AI social network. Adjectives like frightening or dangerous are lies designed to help unprofitable Silicon Valley companies raise their next round of financing. We've been conditioned by decades of Lost in Space. Anybody remember? Danger, Will Robinson. Yeah, okay, that's... Star Trek, Knight Rider, if anybody remembers that one, to believe that a talking computer is intelligent. It isn't. It's just a machine guessing word sequences based on probability. It's a parlor trick, not a person. If you've ever been on the United or on the Universal Studios tour, you know that moment when the tram enters the rotating tunnel, it feels like an avalanche. Anybody remember that? It's disorienting and dizzying. The guide always tells you, if you feel sick, just look at the floor and it will all go away. In 2026, the noise, the narratives are the avalanches. And may we all turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full into his beautiful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, and all the dizzying noise will subside. Can I get an amen? That's what's going on now. One last thing, I'm sorry. One last thing is we do need to be praying for the situation in Iran, but just know there is a lot of posturing and a lot of language that comes with these operations, and they are operations. So don't chase everything that looks obvious. Whatever all the mainstream news services are changing or chasing, or the podcasters, look somewhere else. There's something else going on. I hope that helps. So we're going to pray right now. Why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet? We're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We do this every week. We are a church that stands with who God stands with. And we don't split hairs between whether it's the government of Jerusalem, of Israel, or if it's Netanyahu, or if it's whatever. Forget that. Let's just stick with the word. Let's stick with what Scripture says. And it says that we are to pray for the shalom, the peace of Jerusalem. Are you with me? Let's do that. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for the peace of Israel, the peace of Jerusalem. Father, the situation in the Middle East, Lord, as the news services and everything seems to be that things are ramping up, the rhetoric is ramping up, but Father, we know the 2026 midterms are coming, so there's going to be a lot of weirdness and strange things happening. Father, give us wisdom. Give us the wisdom of the sons and men of Issachar, David's mighty men, where the Scripture says it was the men of Issachar who understood the times and they knew what to do. So we're asking for wisdom. We're asking for strategic thinking. You've given us the mind of Christ. Now give us the grace to tap into that mind so we will know just what to do and how to respond. We pray for our nation. We pray for our president. We pray for revival in America. We pray for the church across America and ask for spiritual awakening and revival to be poured out. And we pray for the churches right here in our backyard, right here in our community, our friends, our neighbors, all over our area. And we ask, Lord, that the fires of revival will burn in pulpits across our region and our area. And Father, thank you for the Lord's model prayer. When Jesus said this, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. High five somebody on your way down. We're going to continue our series in Rooted. I don't want you to panic. I have one point today, so don't freak out. We won't hold you except for till 2:30, so we're good to go. The title of today is Inside Out. I mean, there's not a person in here who hasn't pulled clothes out of the dryer, which I don't do, but I do put them in there, and I help Annette fold them. I'm trying to make every man look bad in here today. So I do help her with that. I always feel like I need to hang up my own clothes, and Every once in a while, there'll be a T-shirt that's inside out. And she'll say, did you do that? And I'm going, no, did you do that? And, you know, it's kind of, we go back and forth. Or there'll be a sock turned inside out or pants turned. And you got to, you know, just, it's such an inconvenience, isn't it? I mean, you got to reach your fan in there, pull it off. I mean, it takes 13 seconds at the most. But still, we're always incensed, right? But it's inside out. But here's the thing. A lot of us, and what God wants to do is really first on the inside and then work it towards the out. That's hence inside out. God wants to do something amazing inside of us, but not just for us. It's for everybody. What God wants to do in you, he also wants to do through you. In other words, the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, in that spirit, living inside of you and living through you, to advance the kingdom in our time. That's the heart of the gospel. Here's the big idea today. The Christian life is not about gritting your teeth and trying harder for Jesus. Can I just read that sentence again? And can we just try to receive it for a second? So I'll say it again. The Christian life is not about gritting your teeth and trying harder for Jesus. It's a good place to say amen. Or thank you, Lord. Relief. It's about Jesus living his life in us and through us, hence the title, Inside Out. Listen, what you're going to get if you grit your teeth and try harder is just tired. You're going to get disillusioned. You're going to get disappointed. So much of what we do in terms of the way we operate in life is very transactional in nature. You know, you do a good deed, you kind of expect an attaboy. You do something nice, you expect somebody to pat you on the back. You do something for somebody, you're sort of expecting something to come in return, the sowing and reaping. We kind of live that way. And unfortunately, we sometimes do that with God, where we're like, God, I've been so good this week. I mean, I only cussed at two people on the I-10 over around Bernie. I only speeded like 5 or 6 times, you know. I only got mad at one farmer on 87. I mean, you know, we're just doing really good right now. There's a sense, a transactional sense in this where we think we kind of deserve something. You know, come on, cut me a break, Lord. I mean, I go out to my garage this morning. Annette says, there's a problem with the garage door on Sunday morning. And I'm like, oh, no big deal. Not quite behind yet, but we're really in the zone where we need to get in the car and go. I hit it, and some weird noise I can't repeat. It's just something weird, and then it goes back down. It won't open. It just opens like this far and goes back down. I'm like, what is going on? And then the bar that it attaches to is actually bending when I hit that's not a good sign, right? So I told Annette, no big deal. I'll just go pull the ripcord. You know what the ripcord is, right? Yeah, I'll just disengage that thing. We're good to go, and we'll just manually do it, and we'll get somebody out this week. So I go over there, and I can't get it to disengage. And, you know, those cotton ropes don't last forever. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, man, if I pull too hard, it's going to break off, and we literally can't leave. We'll have to call Laura Niggles and say, please come get us, because she lives right down up the hill from us, so or somebody from our neighborhood. So it's getting a little nervy, and I'm starting to feel a little frustrated. And some of my thoughts weren't pure, I'm just saying. And I could show up here and just beat myself up and just go, oh, you had a wretched thought. I didn't say it out loud, so, you know, there's a little redemption there. But I thought it. I was like, what is going on? And finally, I like an inanimate option. You know, object can speak. I just said, really? Really? I mean, I'm looking at the garage door open. Really? Today? Anyway, we finally figured out we were able to get the little thing over the track and finally got the door open. We're running a little bit late. We get in the car. It's very quiet for a few minutes. Some of you married folks have experienced this before. And I just said, we're good. We're good. We're going to make it. We're fine. We kind of laughed about it on the way in. But here's the deal. Things come along and we'll find ourselves getting human. Human beings being human. I know it sounds crazy, but we sometimes do that, right? Or maybe it's just me today. So maybe this is my morning. But we live transactional where we think, gosh, you know, we've done well, so we deserve a break. And here's the thing. God does not want to do a transactional thing again because he's already done it. And we're going to talk about what that looks like for you and me. So we're going to talk about this. The idea of being distant moving to being deeply rooted. This is what this whole series in Colossians, by the way, Colossians is like a mini Romans. It's the highlight reel of Romans. It's one of the churches that Paul never visited. He didn't plant that church. Epaphras did. And it was in a, it's kind of a dying town and in a bad place and hard. There's a lot of pagan beliefs and a lot of heresy, and all these brand new Christians are bringing their stuff in, and here you go. You got Colossians, a shining example of what happens when you start a church with a lot of broken people. And that's just the way it was. That was the wild, wild west back then. And so Paul writes them this letter. He writes to commend them, to encourage them, but he also takes and borrows from Romans to lay down some heavy theology. And one of the things he says here, and we're going to see it in the scripture in just a minute, is something that literally transformed my life probably about 25, 30 years ago when I first stumbled onto this. I think I heard the teaching from someone else. There was a book called Classic Christianity by Bob George. It came out many years ago. And I remember reading that book, and he highlighted this verse. And I remember, do you know, when truth drops, something in you resonates. You know in your knower that there's something to this. And I want to share that verse with you because it deeply impacted me. So Colossians chapter 1, we're going to pick up in verse 21. Pastor Brian did such a great job with nobody here. I think Dr. K was in here. Dr. Ken was here. He came in here, preached to a completely empty room like we did in COVID for 11 weeks. And so it was a good stretch for you, but you did great. You were natural. And man, our team came through. Our team was amazing. Faith was back there taking all the stuff we were throwing at her. She's videoing everything in sections, and then she puts it all together. And then on Sunday, it looked like, other than no heads on the front row, it was pretty much normally what you would get. Our worship team recorded on Thursday night, Pastor Brian Thursday afternoon. I did mine Thursday morning. And then Faith put it all together with her magic stuff back there in that cockpit back there and put it all together. And that's what we had. And we had over 745 people watching online live with us on Sunday morning. So, man, that's bigger than we have today, probably. Anyway, it's pretty amazing. So thankful. And I'm glad everybody's okay after all that. So, Colossians chapter 1, let's continue our journey. Verse 21. And this is Paul speaking, and he's saying, and you, speaking to the Colossian Christians. Remember, all new babies in Christ. And look what he says about them. This is how he names them. You who once were, and you should underline once were, at least in your mind, you who once were or used to be alienated, distant, and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. Well, that's a way to greet a group of people, right? Hey, I'm so glad we got a new church, and let me tell you who you were. But he's highlighting who they were, not who they are. And this is very important, and it's going to be critical to you getting a truth bomb blow up in your heart today. Verse 22. He has now reconciled. Who's he? That's Jesus. Listen to what he says. He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. So it's Jesus. Remember the gospel? He gave his life for us. He hung on a cross. He was willing to be beaten, tortured, killed. But then on the third day, he rose from the dead. He did what only he could do. So he's now reconciled us in his body of flesh by his death in order to present us what? To put us in the presence of God, to present us before God. It's almost like the old medieval courtroom or court that you see, and there's, I can see the flags, on each side, and there's these armored people, and you go down the corridor, or you can think Wizard of Oz, either one works, and you go down that corridor, and there's this big throne in the room. It's like the throne room of God, and Jesus is basically presenting them, and you and me, by the way, before the Lord, before the Most Holy One, the King of Kings, the Lord of all lords. And look what it says. In order to present you before God, holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. These are three things that can change your life today. You could literally have a shift in your trajectory today if you will receive what God's trying to say to you right now. And this isn't by feelings. I'm not talking about how you feel. Listen, feelings have so little to do with the gospel. Let's be real. It's what you know to be true. and it's what you trust to be true based on God's word. So let me read this to you in the New Living Translation. So I've got that up there as well. This is the ESV, English Standard Version, great translation. This is in the New Living Translation, which is a little bit more casual, a little more colloquial, a little more down to earth. Colossians 1:22 in the NLT. Yet now, someone say now. That means it's a done deal, family. Now. Notice, too, he'll be talking in past tense. And now he has reconciled. There's past tense. Reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. Did you know when we took communion today, we were taking figuratively into us the body and the blood of Christ into us. I was thinking about that as I was knowing what I was going to be bringing. I was thinking about that as I received that today. He says this, as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. In other words, we now, picture the scene, we're, you could say the great Oz, but I like seeing God on that throne, not the funny guy who had the hot air balloon in the Wizard of Oz. So I'm the great Oz. I'm talking about God. You've been presented before his throne. You're in his presence. You're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says this, and you are... Do you hear what he just said? You are. You're not becoming. This isn't going to be some pipe dream for someday. In the future, you are right now. Someone say right now. Turn to your neighbor and say right now. All right, here we go. Listen to what he says. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a what? Read it. Single fault. Some of you are going, not me. You don't know what I did last night. You don't know what I did last week. You don't know what I did 20 years ago. Here's the thing. When we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let's just talk about the Sermon on the Mount just for a sec, because that's really one of the best examples. Did you know that you cannot live up to the Sermon on the Mount? All that stuff Jesus did in three chapters, laying it all out there. If someone comes against you, you bless them. If they persecute you, you pray for them. All these things. You don't let their left hand know what the right hand's doing. Blessed are the peacemaker. He just goes down the list. And did you know the things he's asking us to do? If somebody asks you to carry something, 1 mile, you take it too. If somebody asks for a little bit, you give them every. He's literally giving us instructions. And we'll read through it going, amen, amen, with knowing full well, I can't do this. And did you know that that's exactly how he designed it to be? What he's doing is harking back to the old Levitical laws, the ones that were supposed to point us in the direction of Christ to say, you know what, at the end of the day, I am hopeless. I cannot do 600 plus laws and be perfect before God. But here's the deal. We have a God who makes us perfect in spite of ourselves. That's a good place to say amen. Even if you have to do it by faith. And do we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. So don't think about how you feel. Let's talk about what God's word says and dare to step out on it. Dare to embrace it. This changed my life many years ago. It wrecked me because when I understood that I'm not going to be holy someday, because I certainly didn't feel it, but that God says I'm holy now, he's already done it. So what I had to do is start reorienting my thinking. By the way, your brain is just an organ. It's not a thinking thing. You got a little tiny piece of your brain that thinks, but most of it just functions. And did you know that when you state truth out loud with your mouth, you hear it with your own ears, your brain doesn't weigh it emotionally. Just a little tiny piece of it does. The rest of it just operates. It just says, okay, all right. I am holy. Okay. Only the little part, only the little emotionally trained and response part will actually judge that. But the rest of your brain just says, okay, I'll do exactly what. Oh, I'm holy. Okay, I guess I'm holy. It's interesting to me, is neurology and whatnot, but listen. When we speak the truth of who we are according to God's word, the more we say it, the more everything about our life aligns to it. Your brain aligns to it, then your body follows, your emotions follow eventually. They're kind of like the caboose on the whole thing. They take a little longer. But here's the deal. We sang a song earlier. What a name, what a God. We were singing that. I don't know if you caught the lines in that, but the lines of that song were saying things, you know, like, if you never do anything else, you've done enough. If you never say anything else, you've said enough. This is the posture of a disciple who says, I'm not going to live my life based on emotions and feelings. My walk with God based on how I feel today. Because if we all did that, we'd have half the people here today. Some of you bypassed what your body was telling you, what your mind was saying, what your garage door was trying to do to you, and you showed up here. And it's not because you wanted to be here. It's because you know you should. And you don't act on emotions. You act on doing what you've made a commitment to do. And God bless you for that. So here's the thing. When you begin to say to yourself, according to God's word in Christ, I am holy. Now here's the deal. We're going to do this all out loud together. In fact, why don't we do it right now? Because I love cringe moments in church. Like when we say, greet somebody, greet your neighbor, it's Cringeville, right? I mean, we get that. But listen, we're Fredericksburg, Texas, not Houston. So we're gonna still try to maintain some kind of human contact, you know, at least once a week. So we're going to stay with that. So I'm okay with cringe. So here's what we're going to do. Out loud, I'm going to say it first, and then you're just going to say it right after me. Say out loud, I am holy. Now, some of you hurt when you did that. Some of you felt really weird. I had a couple of people come up to me during the meet and greet after the service, and they were like, man, that was hard for me. I said, I know, I saw your face. I saw the look on your face. But don't feel bad about that. What you're having to do, you're going to have to retrain. You're going to have to rethink. You've got to realign your thinking and your words and your belief with God's word. See, when we stand on God's word, whether we feel like it or not, you know what you're doing? You're actually aligning things and you're activating faith. And doesn't he say we need to walk by faith and not by sight? So that's exactly what we're doing. And this is how we train ourselves. Notice he said this. He says, in Christ, or because of Christ, you're blameless. So say this with me. I am blameless. Now, your partner right there, your girl, your guy, you may be thinking, I need to elbow my husband right now because he's really not. You don't know what happened this weekend. You know, anyway, it's easy to get into these things and define each other by our mistakes and define each other by our bad moments. But here's the deal. That husband of yours, if he is a believer and he gave his heart to Christ, he's born again, he's repented of his sins, and he's in the kingdom, he is blameless in God's sight. Maybe not yours, but can you imagine if we took on what God sees? Can you imagine how different we'd treat each other? If we just said, you know what, man, yeah, they said something they probably shouldn't. I remember Michael W. Smith in a y'all know who Michael W. Smith is? Pretty famous guy. So he, in a documentary, he made this comment that stuck with me. It's probably 10, 15 years ago, and I heard this. He said, I have made a commitment to the Lord that I don't ever want to be offended again the rest of my life. I refuse to be offended. And I thought, wow. Boy, that's putting an X on your back. You know what I'm saying? That's marking the target right there. But he's saying, I do not want to live another day of my life offended, upset, entitled to be mad. That's what offense is. Entitled. That hurt my feelings. So therefore, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But I thought that was pretty bold. I thought that landed with me. But can you imagine having that? What was he doing? He was making a declaration. He was saying it out loud. And you say something out loud enough, you begin to train your heart, your spirit, your mind, your body to it all. Mind, body, spirit. Listen to this. Blameless. You're holy, blameless, as you stand before him. And here's the big one. Without a single fault. Wow. Say, I am. Before God. Without a single fault. Here's another way to say it. It's biblically accurate according to the Koine Greek language. Here it is. It's the word flawless. This is going to hurt. Say, I am. Flawless. Boy, some of you gritted your teeth. It got a little quieter. I noticed the volume dropped a little. Family, when we begin, this is not arrogance. It's not pride. It's Bible. Let me say it again, because we need to understand. Sometimes in our religious self, we don't want to be puffed up. We don't want to come off as proud. But let me tell you something. Aligning yourself with what God says is not being proud. It's being biblical. Amen? This is hard. I know. I could feel the cringe. So let's do it again. So I'm going to read the verse, and then I'm going to lead you to say this about yourself. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Past tense. You're already there. And you are holy. Say, I am holy.
I am holy.
And blameless. Say, I'm blameless. And you stand before him without a single fault, say, I am before the Lord, and I'm flawless. I know that's hard. I love it. I love cringe. All right, verse 23, listen to this. Let's keep going. He says this, and there's a little condition here. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith. In other words, this is an autopilot. Yeah, he's done it. You receive it, but you got to continue the journey. You got to continue to walk. You don't go, oh, I'm taking my holiness, my blamelessness, my faultlessness, and I'm going to go do whatever I want now, because this must be a license to do anything I want. No, it is not. The very next thing he says is, if indeed you continue in the faith, you got to stay on the journey. Stay the course. Stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. In other words, this word has gone out over all creation already, and Jesus has already done what he said he was going to do. Do you remember what he said on the cross? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Everybody camps out on that, but also tetelestai. And that word means in the Greek, it is, say it, finished. It's finished. It also means paid in full in debt and transactional language. It literally, it's like stamping something, paid in full. It is finished. In other words, Jesus did what he was going to do. He fulfilled what he came to do, and that was to erase sin, eradicate it from the life of those who would say yes to him and make him the Lord and Savior of their life. And some of you are writhing right now. You're like, this is cringe like times 100. But it's because in our religious thinking, we think transactionally. I don't deserve this. Well, guess what? I don't either. You're right. We don't deserve this. But that's what mercy is all about. We don't get what we deserve because of his mercy. Grace means that we actually get what we don't deserve. It's like flipping the script. And God's grace is sufficient. He told that to Paul. When Paul said, hey, I prayed 3 times, nothing's happening here, and I'm hurting here. And God says, my grace is enough. My grace is enough. It's sufficient. And we talked about when we started this, that this is about the supremacy of Christ. That's Colossians. And the sufficiency of Christ. Supremacy, Lord of all, King of all, sufficiency. He has paid your debt in full. But let's keep walking. Let's stay on the journey. Let's keep going. So the word reconciled, I read that earlier. I want to just give you a quick definition. It means to restore a broken relationship by removing hostility. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation, Scripture tells us, and God reconciled us to him by removing the hostility. He removed everything. That's why when you're mad at God, you can't feel his presence. It's so bizarre, right? 1 + 1 = 2. When you have anger toward and disappointment and disillusionment and you're offended by God, and yes, we get offended by God. We get mad at God. And you wonder why, man, I can't get close. I can't pray. It's because there's a fence. There is a fence between you, a fence. And it's hard to get to him. But he breaks that down, restores the hostility, and it makes a way for us to come back together. It's relational language, not just emotional language or legal language. A couple of things. This is kind of just truths that transform, just little things out of this. Reconciliation is not you moving toward God. It is God moving toward you in Christ. Now, we have scriptures that say, you know, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Yeah, that's when you're in Christ. You're already there. You're already walking with him. This is God saying, I love mankind so much, I'm going to send my only begotten son, and that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's God moving toward us through his son. It's called the incarnation in theological language, which means Christ entering into mankind's life. In other words, in Eugene Peterson's The Message translation, he put on an earth suit and moved into the neighborhood. That's him coming to us, coming toward us. The hostility is dealt with once, not repeatedly. Once for all. In other words, he handled it. It is finished. Tetelestai. Done. Debt is paid in full. It's done. Say it's done. And when you're wondering, well, if it's done, why do I keep feeling this way? Remember, put your feelings aside. It's what do you know? What do you believe? And what will you trust? And who will you trust? It comes back to trust. When I meet people who are afraid of God in a bad way, there's a good fear of the Lord that leads to wisdom. There's good things, good holy fear. But there's also a dark, you know, families of origin sometimes have done a number on us. But did you know that as your parents were raising you, that they too themselves were also growing up at the same time? If you look back, especially if you're getting to be the numbers I'm racking up right now, and you look back and you realize, my parents were kids when they had me and my brother. But I expected them to know what to do. I expected them to be perfect. I expected discipline to be perfect and fair. This isn't fair. Well, it probably wasn't. But you know what? They didn't know what they didn't know. And depending on how they were raised, they might not really know anything, just depending. If there's that sense where we think, gosh, man, I was raised by kids. I mean, how did anything work? But here's the deal. When God comes along, he deals with it once for all. It's done. You're clear. When we get in trouble at home, we have to go back and we got to figure it out. We got to re-earn their trust. You know, you're going to be grounded for 6 years. Dad, how can I re-earn your trust? You know, just take out the trash like I asked you. I mean, it's like, help me here. Work with me. But in the kingdom of God, it's different. Father God says, I love you so much that even though you have given yourself even over to a reprobate mind, or even though you're not thinking, I love you so much, and you did say yes to my son, and because of that, you're already done. You're already free. You're already holy. You're already blameless. You're already above reproach. Not gonna be. You are now. If you get anything out of today, I hope it's when you walk out those doors, you'll remember I'm holy, I am blameless, and I'm above reproach in his sight. Doesn't even have to be in your sight. Doesn't have to be in your spouse's sight or your roommate's sight or your friend or whatever or anybody else. You know, if he sees you that way, that's what matters. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I want to land with this. You're no longer a stranger trying to get close. You are a son or a daughter already brought back. Past tense. He's already done the work. You can grit your teeth harder all day long. You're just going to break your teeth off someday. It is not about that. And it's not about what we do for him. It's about what we do with him. It's called cooperation. It's called co-laboring. We labor with him. We cooperate with him. Or in Pastor Brian's words, we dance with him instead of for him. Remember that? If you listen to the Godcaster, I hear it all the time. So. All right, listen to this. Key idea. Key ideas. We'll land with this. We are not rooted in our performance. We're not. This is not what grounds us. We are not rooted in our performance. We are rooted in Christ's finished work. Family, he did it. And if he did it, why are we still trying to please God as though he's a parent that we could never please? See, we take some of these patterns that we learned and these hard things we learned when we were being raised as kids, and we transpose them, we project them onto God and think, well, he just wants me to act right and do better. And yeah, he just wants me to clean up my act and then he'll accept me. No, you're already accepted or you wouldn't have a beating heart right now. You wouldn't have blood running through your veins. You wouldn't be alive. You wouldn't have a chance to say yes, Lord, right now. Just say yes, Lord. Thank you. You're so good to me. You could have thumped me off the planet a long time ago, but you didn't. You didn't. There's mercy. There's grace. You do know if you're still walking this planet, there's still hope. There's a reason why your heart's still beating in your body. It's because he hasn't given up on you. And if he had, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be hearing any of this. You grow by trusting what Christ has already done. You want to be rooted. That's what this whole series is about. Being rooted from the inside out. Then we trust the finished work of Jesus Christ. He did it. Tetelestai. And that means I can now rest into it and live into it and actually enjoy it. I know, that's shocking. Enjoy your Christian walk? Are you seriously? Look, I'm not trying to be Joel Osteen or anything like that. I'm just saying you can actually enjoy this thing. Because when you love somebody for real, you enjoy everything about them. Do you love God? Do you love him for real? If so, the things I say to God in prayer, y'all would just be shocked. Y'all would be like, he's the most irreligious pastor I've ever seen in my life. I'll claim that. I pretty much am. But God loves me. And so when I say things to him, sometimes I joke with God. Do you? You ever laugh with him? I know I'm weird. I do. I just do. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that's funny. Yeah. Oh, that garage door thing, whatever. You know, that's funny. Sometimes I think he's waiting for us to lighten up because we take everything so, so seriously. And could it be he just wants to commune with you? He wants to fellowship with you. Could it be he just wants to be with you? Just like you are, just real, just honest, just transparent. You know, when you dress up for God, and I'm just mean by the way you're acting, he already knows you're not that way. You do know that, right? When you change your tone or you change your pop, he's right there with you. He's with you on your best day, in the middle of your best decisions, but he's also there with you on your worst day, in the middle of your worst decisions. Amen. Say, I am holy. Say, I am blameless. It's really going to hurt. Say, I am flawless. Then say, in Christ. Because that's the only way it matters, only way it works. Amen? Let's pray. Bow your heads. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come on up. And they're going to be available to pray for anything you may have. This is a Let's Pray More year. That's kind of my word for the year. And I just want to encourage you to take advantage of these friends who are up here willing to pray with you and be with you. And guys, I'm not going to dismiss you. I'm going to commission you to go out and have an amazing week on purpose. To go out filled with the life of Jesus, filled with the truth of God's word of who you are, and let it shine. You may even have to tell yourself, smile inside. Maybe it'll eventually get outside. Just smile inside. Just smile inside. Just smile with my eyes. Smile with my heart. Maybe it'll make its way out and touch somebody's life. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We honor you. And we're so blessed to be able to do this walk together. And even as we walk out of this place, Lord, we want to bring everything that you've deposited in us out there where we live, where we work, and where we play. And I pray that for my friends this week. We honor you and who you are. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. We love you.